And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear! No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence. I'm me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA Utiful Studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Oh, what are we going to do today? This is something I've been looking forward to into the week and the first week of. We'll get some prediction out of Aaron and Melissa Dykes from TruthStreamMedia.com. Now, you may have seen them on Freedom's Phoenix before. We always, you know, link into good videos and such, in which they have some. You know, so we'll introduce you to Melissa, you know, here just a little bit. All right. Melissa Dykes is a writer, researcher, analyst for the Daily Sheeple, you'll see, you know, on Freedom's Phoenix every now and then too, and a co-creator of Truth Stream Media with Aaron Dykes. Now, she is an experienced researcher, graphic artist, investigative journalist with a passion for liberty and a dedication to truth. Aaron is a veteran investigative reporter, videographer, editor, host, and researcher. Their documentary, Obsolete, is available for free on Amazon Prime. You can go to your TV on your Roku or your streaming device, whatever. Go to Amazon Prime, Obsolete. We're going to be watching it this weekend. Their videos are available on YouTube at Truth Stream Media. You're going to go check that out. Obsolete. Now, the reason we're going to be talking to them, there was a video that they had done, and it was about Blocked, Locked, and Hacked, how they are shutting down the alternative media online, and predictions for 2017. That's one thing we're going to do, but I tell you, let's talk about the movie Obsolete first. Let's just get that out of the way. We'll do a promo for that. Go ahead, you guys tell us all about your film Obsolete.
Hey, how you doing, Ernie? Hey. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Pleasure.
Yeah, Obsolete came out of following economic news like a lot of us do, and knowing what I know about population control and the long-term, long-game aims of what they want to do with society. And putting that together with the replacement by robots and automation and AI, which we also all see coming. I know that's not news to anyone, but the fact of the matter is that unless something very major changes, jobs as we know them are going away. You've probably seen the news headlines. They've got universal basic income already being instituted, and that's going to be a really tough challenge for staying independent and employed. Because the government wants to collectivize everybody. They want everyone in the system receiving payments from them. It's not even a matter of money. It's just a matter of control.
Okay, let's talk about that real quick. You know, this base pay thing, they just started it, a test with a few thousand people in, what, Finland, I think, or something. This has been them in the precariat, those that live in a precarious existence. They got big, giant student debt. A sheepskin that says, hey, give me a job and no job, and I've been commercialized to where I want the next iPhone, everything. And then, you know, so then what happens? Well, you know, we need to give them like a minimum base pay or something. Explain that to the people, what they're talking about.
Well, they want to do away with qualifications. Don't prove you deserve welfare and all that. They're just going to give you the check to keep not just you, but everybody in the hordes from revolting and becoming revolutionary. And that's something the Bilderberg Group has talked about and quite a few of these elitist groups. And as things roll forward, they just want us inside their collective unit. And we get into, in the heart of the film, how they've done rat experiments and they've done poverty experiments with humans in places like St. Louis, where they pretty much have completely modeled us living in units where we're going to self-destruct. We're going to lose our ability to produce children. We're going to lose our dignity and our purpose if we don't find some other way to hang on to it.
I mean, 8 out of 10 jobs that employ the most people in this country, millions and millions of people, are over 95%, I think, possibility of being replaced by automation and robots and AI and algorithms. So you're talking about huge, massive unemployment. And they're instituting this universal basic income is basically where the government pays you money. And that's how you exist. So your ability to pay your rent, put food on your table, you're completely dependent on the government for that, because there's just not going to be hardly any jobs.
You know,
this they're
is
actually
when...
testing this in California right now.
Really? How are they testing it in California? What are they doing?
They're giving $1,000 to $2,000 a month to a handful of Oakland families in Oakland, California.
Yeah, it's something that Silicon Valley's leading the way on.
Yeah, it's Sam Altman from the Bilderberg Group.
Yeah, this is... Well, we saw Bilderberg this last summer. There was one of the things that they talked about was we got to deal with the precariat. You know, this precariat, this popular uprisings around the world, the Brexit, the Trump stuff. We got to deal with the precariat. And it came from a book, a guy named Guy Standing or some economist in the UK wrote a book. And I was looking at precariat. What the hell are they talking about? And it was, he was going, well, we got all these people, you know, to where they want the next gizmo gadget, got to have the VR or whatever. They have a desire for all the consumer goods. They think they're entitled in some way. And then they go to school and get their head filled with a bunch of crap. And they got a big giant student debt and no job. How do we deal with these people that live in a precarious existence? That's why they call them the precariat.
Yeah.
And that's where this base income thing was coming in. Now, we've seen this happen when Arab Spring happened. I remember one of the Saud kings at the time was getting operations in Morocco or what. Anyway, man, David, we're going back to Saudi Arabia and we're just spreading out the money. Ooh, who needs a check? Well, Kuwait, you know, they live on a lot of their oil wealth there. Now, people, you know, their welfare is, hell, you know, here's your mansion. But I'm going, this is how they're going to automation and robots, and one of the largest jobs, the biggest sector, best paying jobs without a college degree, truck drivers. Well, here comes automated trucks. Boom, done. Now what? So obsolete is what's obsolete? The American worker? I mean, what are you saying?
Yeah, people are in jeopardy of being obsolete because once they have us on the grid, they're not going to want people having children. You know, the birth rate is going down drastically right now, not just in the Western world, but even in the countries that are known for having, you know, many more children than we want. Population growth, as they talk it up, is actually in a bubble, and it's about to drop so fast, it's going to bring the economy down with it, and there will be fewer and fewer people from that precariat class. They just want to distract them in a classic fashion with bread and circuses and iPhones and welfare checks, so nobody notices what happened over the next 50 years.
So what?
I mean, on a side note to that, just really quick, the Pentagon has training videos came out through FOIA requests showing that the Pentagon is talking about how they're going to have to focus on urban warfare because by 2030, so many people are going to be unemployed and crammed into these massive cities that we've got that there's going to be just massive crime. So they're planning for this. They've been planning for this for a really long time. And this is the plan that the Bilderberg Group and Davos Elite and George Soros and all these people, this is the plan they've come up with, is that the government will pay you a check. And there are people that think that's great. They just cannot wait for their government check. That's just going to be awesome. But first of all, it's going to be a way to move us all into a cashless society, because they're not going to be handing out money with that. They're going to be putting it on a little card, so your card's going to be all you have. But
I can feel the hacking coming already on everything. You know,
yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, my sound cut out for a second. But on top of that, it's a way of basically giving the government total control over your life. We're talking about everything that you need to survive, you're relying on the government for that. Think about how they can then use that to say, oh, well, we've decided that everyone needs to turn in their guns now because you're our employee. Or we've decided everyone needs mandatory vaccinations. Or we've decided no one can homeschool their kids anymore. I mean, whatever they want, because if you're dependent on them, I mean, they can have that much control, more control.
Okay, now when did
life.
Obsolete?
If you want to take it to the extreme, it's treating us like cattle, but with technology.
Yep. We're all just livestock. Now, when did Obsolete come out? When did you produce that film?
October.
In October of last year.
And then Hillary lost! So, I won't talk more when we come back.
When it comes to
Okay, the we'll sum up some of this when we come back live, but I wanted, and Donna told you, I'm sure, you know, this is all recorded, so FYI. Now, the Obsolete comes out, and it says, hey, man, we're all going to whatever, and here's the watch for, and the solution would have been what?
Well, it would be great if we had property rights and we could live like Robinson Crusoe, but with technology. It's just that they're replacing us and trying to keep us. And so the solution is to not have to be forced onto that.
Find ways to be independent.
Okay,
I mean, that's basically what we ended up with saying.
I know, we're with you, and I'll explain some stuff. What we, you know, I don't know. Do you know who we are at all, Freedom's Phoenix, or me, or anything?
We met many years ago. The InfoWars crew came, and we did an interview with you and stuff. I don't know if you remember that. It's been a number of years, but
here at my
I remember
home,
you talking about the Bill of Rights and everything.
Here at my home, or.
We were in your studio with some of the activists and stuff.
Oh, the workshop that we had. Yeah. Okay. Let me tell you, I just give you a quick, you know, version. We just had a couple days ago, we had Rick Falconwing guy, you know, started the Pirate Party in Sweden. And it was what we did after the Pirate Party took over 16% of the parliament in Iceland. I could see it was going to come here, but I'm not about voting. I mean, like, you think voting is going to make you free? You haven't been paying attention. So I'm
yeah,
just,
exactly.
You know, so it's a Arizona Pirate Party, okay? Arizona, you know, that kind of thing. So Scott Beezer's doing the artwork for the ship. It's a big, giant airship that's, you know, we got our own pirate ship, and then we're just, screw you, and it goes to space, so bite me. So we have that. Davy Barker is staying here, and he's working on while he's doing some other project here. The attire, you know, it starts off with a vest, and then we got logo, and it'll have like letters of mark and reprisal. So the letters of mark, it kind of like, instead of obey the state logo where it has the head, it's belay, like belay the state, you know, like tie it down, ignore it, whatever. So belay that order, you know, ignore it. So we have letters of mark, and reprisal is a female character that, you know, is like, go kick ass. So then we have everything is decentralization. It's pirate energy, pirate radio, pirate communication, pirate agriculture, pirate, the pirate life for me, okay? So
that would be, maybe we should have put that in our movie. That would have been a great solution.
No.
That's exactly what we need.
It's exact, right in line with you. And 2 days ago, I don't think it was the day before yesterday, we did like this five-hour show, the live and the podcast. If you guys get a chance, you go to freedomsphoenix.com in the top right, it's Freedom, you know, Ernest Hancock, Declare Your Independence Show. You go in there and you'll see a couple of days ago, that one show, you listen to that, you'll get the entire what we're doing right in line with what you're advocating here. But it's also, I've been heavily for years pushing things like Made Safe. You know, Alexandria, decentralized storage. I mean, it's when we get on decentralized communication and internet, when that happens, not this crap that they got here, all these problems, when we come back, we'll talk about your blocked and locked thing. That's why I wanted to have you on. I'm going, yeah, what do you think I've been screaming all these years? I'm going, they're not your friends. They're Zuckerberg's friends. You even got freaking email? I mean, do you even know who these people are? I mean, guy will slap you guys around. So the person that took it seriously was Pete Iyer and Adame over at Cop Block. They're like, yeah, we can see that it's starting to hit them first. So they were starting to pull all the emails. You know, I'm going, yeah, right freaking on. So what you're, the experience that you're having, anything that the solution we're going to have is going to be our communicating, which they're shutting down. So that's what I want to talk about. Here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Wow! They're not your friends. They're Zuckerberg's. YouTube gets bought up by Google. I mean, you know, I'm an old guy. I got my first email, come back 93. I saw a libertarian act, go kick some ass. And they're going to have to control the ones and zeros. What if we can?
We are.
care. We go to TruthStreamMedia.com. We care. And this one that they did, Blocked, Locked, and Hacked, how they are shutting down the alternative media online. You go to today's archive. You'll see this video. I was most pleased with the observations of what's going on. So what's going on? You got, you know, help us out. Why did you do this video? What's happening, y'all?
Because I don't think
people... Oh, wait, wait. I'm sorry. I didn't have your button up. Okay. Ask the question again. Go.
Oh. I said, first, I just want to point out, because I don't think a lot of people realize this, that computers, the internet, all of this technology, it came from the military first. So to think that it wasn't weaponized first is kind of naive. We're talking about DARPA. They don't really do things for your fun and your benefit. So that's just first of all. But also, as we've seen this whole thing in the news about the fake news and how that's been tied just automatically to the alternative media, at the same time, we're seeing basically they're blocking alternative news sites from sharing information on every major platform you can think of. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all of it. And so I did the video because, well, for us, we've been getting censored on YouTube for a really long time. And when people first started complaining about that, I was kind of confused because we've been getting censorship for a long time. There are lots of topics that you just cannot talk about. They will not allow you to put ad revenue or put ads on your videos at all. 9/11 is a good example. You can't even talk about a park bench in the Ground Zero area without them censoring that. So, but also just seeing things like my view counts being locked up for days and then never hitting the same stride, right? I've got subscribers that write to me all the time saying, I don't know why, but I was dumped off of your channel. I'm not getting any of my messages saying when you put up a new video, things like that. It happens all the time. But now it's almost like some switch has been flipped and it's been kicked into overdrive. And we put up a story which was not fake news. It was actually real news having to do with H.R. 4919, which passed in Congress, which has to do with giving the DOJ the power to basically microchip or track. It's going to be some kind of tracking technology. They haven't said. Congressman Rep. Gohmert said that it will likely be microchips or something like that, digital tattoos. People with mental disabilities, and they're very vague in the wording, so it's a completely Orwellian nightmare. And I tried to do just a video on that because Gohmert got down on the House floor and gave a speech that was pretty horrifying, and it's hard for me to even believe it was a real speech on the floor of Congress. And I did a video on it, and I got shut down on Facebook. My links were being blocked. I couldn't even share them in private, supposedly private messages. Of course, no messages on Facebook are private. But then my view counts got locked down on YouTube. After it was trending, it was going really fast. I got thousands of views in a couple of hours, and then all of a sudden, nothing. And then it barely crept up when it finally did come back. And while that, right after that, those two things happened, then our website was hacked and completely taken offline. And it was just a continuous attack. It took a day to get it back on. So every possible way that we had basically of trying to share that story, it was blocked and hacked and locked. And this is what they're going to do. I mean, basically what you have with the internet is a cybernetic loop of communication and control. That's what it's always meant to have been, and that's what it is. And now they're going to start using it to crack down on anybody who basically says anything that goes against the agenda. And we've seen that. I mean, recently they started saying that the alternative media is really Russian propaganda and that we should all be investigated for espionage, you know, if we say anything that goes against the government. And then Russia also reports on that, then now we're Russian propagandists for reporting on that. I mean, it's pretty insane the level of stuff that's going on. And then on top of that, you have Obama signing the Countering Disinformation and Propaganda Act into law. And that just happened quietly around Christmas. And that's pretty much the last nail in that coffin. It gives the government basically carte blanche to crack down with impunity against any media outlet, alternative, blog, whatever, that it deems propaganda. And they are also at the same time going to fund their own army of counter-propaganda journalists. I'm using derisive air quotes when I say journalists.
Mm-hmm.
Basically to make sure that the government's own agenda, whatever that is, drowns out the narrative of the alternative media. And we even had Obama go and say that the alternative media are domestic propagandists. This is the term he used, like domestic terrorists. We're domestic propagandists now. So
you know,
that's the level we're at.
Well, how old are you guys?
I'm going to be 37 in a couple weeks.
Okay, so you're not kids. I mean, you've been around, you know, you kind of get it. So that, and your husband, how old are you?
I'm 35.
Okay, so you're
just mid, my birthday.
So you're mid-30s. Happy birthday. So mid-30s, how long have you all been married? Are you brother and sister? You married? I don't know.
We've been married for almost two years. We've been together over four.
Okay, so how long were you doing this kind of media and so on? Which one of you were first? Were you doing it? Did you meet?
Oh, I've been in this over a decade.
Okay, so when you were doing InfoWars and you came to our studio and hung out and whatever, you know, that's what you're doing. All right. So now this is like nothing secret to you what's really going on here. I mean, it was... my first YouTube we did was in early 07 or something. It's just getting going, and we started doing our own. Of course, we knew it was there, and yes, and that's what triggered the creation of Freedom's Phoenix. We had the whole concept in our heads back in 96. Freedom's Phoenix, you know, the phoenix from Lady Liberty's torch ashes and rebirth, blah, blah, blah. And we're going, the structure and everything, when video hits the internet, oh, that'll never happen. All that, you know, too much bandwidth, kind of, it'll never happen. And I'm going, yeah, well, when it does, we're going to launch Freedom's Phoenix because we're going to be needing video to compete with a lot of what's going on because we got a bunch of videos. Just how do you distribute it? So I'm going, all right, when that happened, boom, here we go. It's been 11 years, over a decade, Freedom's Phoenix. And I'm telling you, from the beginning, I could see, like you're saying, it's a DARPA thing. What makes you think that they're going to allow you to send ones and zeros, God forbid, clandestinely or cryptically or whatever, and with other people and them not know it. Hell no. And your ability to be saying what you've been doing, do you believe that you were censored and, you know, suppressed your traffic or even the number they put up there, you know, is crap from the beginning, or did it amp up? You know, did you do it before Google bought YouTube? What's been your experience?
Oh, there's levels to it, but yeah, I would say a turning point was definitely Google buying YouTube.
Yeah,
YouTube is a great idea, but, you know, powers that be and everything.
This is the other. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, I can tell. I get so many messages from people and emails just whenever I put certain videos up, especially certain video. Like, we put a video up when it first really started really bad is when we put up a video talking about how there were way more mass shootings under Obama than any other president in modern American history. And that's the first time when our website was majorly hacked. It was hacked repeatedly. Every time we got it back up, it was hacked again. And the videos were shut down because it was going viral, and all that kind of stuff happened to us the first time. And then ever since then, and oh, Snopes also came out and said we were lying, which wasn't even true. We had a whole data set to go with that report, so we backed up what we said with data.
Okay, anyway, we're in break right
after
now.
After that happened, I pretty much noticed after that every time we would upload a video, there would be weird errors that would happen. The view counts would get locked up for over a day, and I'm not talking about where it just times out and then catches up. I'm talking about where it locks up. It's almost like they're holding it in a pin and not allowing any views to go on there. I've actually seen my videos. I will refresh, and it will lose 3,000 views. Like 3,000 people just suddenly unwatched it.
No, that kind of stuff. I understand. And that's why I wanted to. You know, we're in break now, and
sorry.
You know, but it's on the Skype. You don't hear the bumper music. So, but it's the next. We come back at 33, and then the next break is like 42:30. But FYI. But the one thing I really wanted to emphasize is what's next. This is what happened. Knowing this and screaming this forever, I'm going, God, you guys are invested. We got our Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, and Facebook, and Twitter, and all that kind of crap, but I don't spend a lot of time on it. We keep the site. It's there for when there's a decentralized internet, when Made Safer, you know, Alexandria, or storage, or whatever the hell the next, you know, Bite Me happens, and it will. When it does, and we've been promoting that a lot, I go, when it happens, we're getting all ready right now. I'll get all our YouTube stuff ready because we're doing Vimeo now because screw YouTube. But they're just as bad. But, you know, not as bad, but they will be. They need to be. So I'm going, okay, we're on Facebook now. Here, we're over here, and we're telling everybody, look, and we're not here anymore. We're over there, okay? So that is when that happens. Are you going to fight for, our YouTube channel? Or are you going to start using it to segue into we're over here now and wherever that is?
I think we're probably going to move. It's too much work to edit video and do all of that just so that you can't even get the video out to people. It's just too much work. And plus, I think if more people don't start moving towards whatever the new options are, then those things will never get populated. And it's almost like we're taking it lying down by sticking to YouTube. I mean, what we need to do is boycott it and leave, and everyone together go somewhere else.
And
that's what I've been kind of saying in the last few videos, but I'm just not sure what that is yet. I've heard different things coming up, but I don't know what the next thing is yet.
Have you been aware of MadeSafe? Has that crossed your radar screen at all?
I'm not, but I'm definitely about to check it out after we get done talking.
Write this down. Here we go. MAIDSAFE.net. MadeSafe, like a maid, okay? So madesafe.net, it's like blockchain tech, not Bitcoin, for all information. You know, it's just, you know, we are the internet. It's what was happening when I was your age in the mid 90s. I'm 55 now, born in 61. So when the internet first started coming, it was a powerful tool to know that, hey, they're introducing the exact same bill in this municipality in Connecticut as they are here in Glendale, Arizona. Like, what the hell? We're under attack, you know? So it gave us kind of a heads up on things, but it was a surveillance control. We know who you are kind of grid if we got it. So we're knowing there's something else coming. Well, MadeSafe is a project that's been going on for years, and it's getting towards the end here, hopefully, that each of us, as in the mid-90s, we saw nodes. It was going to be like bulletin boards and servers and kind of, you know, that's how we thought it was good. Then the World Wide Web hit, and we're going, yep, we got to go through this. We're going to get screwed. Well, now we're screwed. So I'm going, all right. So now it's going to go back to decentralized, like we are the internet. Part of our hard drive holds encrypted data of whatever we're Google server. And you can see how much can be done with what's happened with Bitcoin nodes. So this is happening now. And it's just, we are the internet. All right, here we go.
.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
We'll be fighting in the streets with our children at our feet. In the morrows that they worship, we'll be gone.
And I'll be gone. You know, that's another thing with the children at our feet. We had 4 children, got 10 grandchildren, kind of, you know, kick ass, we're in. So I'm just wondering, you know, Aaron and Melissa Dykes, children in the mix, is that part of your thing?
We have a couple kids.
Aha! Changes the way you look at stuff. You know,
it does.
And they're young or, you know, teens, what?
I have an 8-year-old and a 17-year-old, so.
Oh, we're going to explain it to you. Okay. Now, this is, you know, you get a lot of perspective, you know, from that generation, too. I remember my kids in high school through the 2000s and the war. And it's different, Ernie. You don't know. I go, seriously, go on the internet. We looked up the news for 1980. Okay. I go, this is, you know, right when I was graduating high school, 79, 80. What did we have? You know, we had Afghanistan being invaded by the Soviets, the boycott of the Olympics in '80. We had Cold War this and Middle East that, and Iran. I'm going, tell me what's different in the headlines, you know? And the same people, Rumsfeld and Cheney, and I'm going, God, seriously, this is that they just regurgitate this stuff. And the only thing that's changed is you having this kind of journalistic platform. And I'm going, I'm telling you, there's going to be a whole nother wave of, you know, I can feel it coming. I'm wondering, being in this fight, do you feel it? Is there a change, or is Trump the change?
I think there is a change, because I think that the mainstream media has now so totally disgraced itself with the internet, with the ability to share information at lightning speed. You know, it's so easy to call out lies and hoaxes and things. It's so much easier to share that kind of information than it's ever been. And I think it's also just, I don't know if you've seen just here recently in the last few weeks, but usually the mainstream media likes to put, you know, some truth and then mix it with some obfuscation and then some outright lies. Now they're just straight up reporting things that are not true at all and being called on it. And people, I think there's just large swaths of the population that no longer trust. I think what was the trust in the mainstream media? Like at 10%?
Or
so, like they're lower than Congress.
Yeah, I know.
I think
that's awesome.
The approval rating or something. So they can demonize the alternative media all they want, but they can't make us go away, because we're the only ones left that are even halfway trying to figure out what's really going on here and talk about it. I mean, you know, you had Washington Post the other day talking about how Russia hacked a power grid. That never happened. That just wasn't even true at all. And now they're reporting there was this, like, in the last couple days, they were reporting that Trump said he was going to restructure the CIA. That never happened. It just never happened. And they're just blatantly reporting on open lies. You know, we live in a time now where, because of the NDAA 2013, they changed the Smith-Mundt Act and said that domestic propaganda dissemination is totally legal. So they can pretty much tell us whatever they want. It's just now we have a tool to fight back on that. And I don't see us going away as much as they're trying to demonize it and pass all these new laws to try and fight it. I mean, people are waking up to the fact that they're just not being told the truth by all of these supposed people in positions of authority, be that in the media or otherwise.
Well, who do you think they're talking to? I mean, I give you an example. We have when they get on the New York Times or the Talking Heads shows on Sunday, and Dick Cheney's up there in the early 2000s, we got to go to war with somebody, and they're going, look at this story. Yep, it's in the New York Times. Well, how they got it in is they put it in the Murdoch paper in Australia that then the New York Times reported of Australia because it was illegal to do propaganda in the United States, but it's not illegal for the United States to report on the propaganda they put in Australia, you know? So I'm going, wow, so then they just change it. Yes, it's legal for the Pentagon to use as weapons of war, propaganda, and the other, but not here. We wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong, you know? So then they go, we'll just do it. So propagandize ourselves. Well, then it's like, well, they're fake news. They're calling our propaganda, so they're fake news, and they must be, you know, slapped on the wrist or beat aside the head and kind of, you know, and we get to have the monopoly on fake news, and damn it. And I'm going, wow, over any amount of time, I don't see this working, but they're doing it anyway. Who are they talking to?
I still see these people when I go out into the real world, and they don't resonate with talking about real issues. And you can just sometimes tell by the things they say or even just the feelings that they're watching this stuff and buying into it.
Yep.
And we've had a great a revelation of consciousness in large part because of the internet, but it's still a relatively few. It's still relatively few people. Yeah, but it's still enough to explode the world scene, and it's just been the best of times and the worst of times. If I was trying to reach people on my block with talking about any kind of real issues, I'd get doors shut in my face, and I'd have the social anxiety feeling or something. But online, apparently, I have brethren in all corners of the world, and so do you and everybody, right? But on the other hand, we're getting clustered together, and the algorithms are only driving that information to people who've already sort of opted into it.
Okay, this is one point I want to make. You know, in a lot of people, yeah, you don't know that, Ernie. Everybody knows that. You know, and I'm like, God, everybody doesn't. Maybe all your friends know it, be it on some issue about, you know, vaccines, or it's some issue on foreign policy, or some FEMA there, or some conspiracy of the, you know, they're putting in water, the air, the whatever the heck. And everybody, no, it's like a little echo chamber. Your 300,000 of you guys are all informed on it, and you get it, but that never makes it out of that echo chamber on Facebook. And I'm going, what is it that's breaking through? Because they're compartmentalizing and shutting up and dialing down, and what? Because they can see it happen. They can see it. They sit there and watch it happen in real time, and they have to control it. When I say they, who are they? There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. That's who they, them, those are. They won't leave me. You want to know who they are? They won't leave you alone, okay? So I'm going, all right, this echo chamber, how are you planning on breaking out of that? You know, with Love Illusion, we just put signs on the freeways. You know, hello? I mean, it's going to be some kind of activism thing? Or are you waiting for the next platform? What are you thinking?
That'd be great. You know, I'd love to know more about, I think it's called mesh networking. How do we get around the ISP issue? Because if they control the one or two pipes and valves, you know, that they can cut off anybody. But if your pirates and hackers can get around that, hey, I'd take one.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, that, and I think there's a lot more people that, I mean, because I've heard quiet rumblings in the last few years of people talking about topics in public while I'll be in the grocery store aisle or something that you never would have heard before about the coming cashless society, about mandatory vaccination, about some of these issues, you know, even things like, are they spraying toxins in the air, stuff like that. And people are just randomly talking about these things. And I didn't used to hear that stuff before. So I think even though there are those echo chambers, I still think that stuff is having an impact and catching on. I mean, we get letters from people all the time that say, I just found your channel. I've watched every video you have. And now I feel like I know more about this topic or that topic.
Right.
So it's trickling out and it's passing on. And I know it just takes that one thing that breaks the mold on someone, and then they go, oh, wait a minute, if I've been lied to about this one thing, what else have I been lied to about?
Everything. You know, this is why this pirate idea thing, I could see it. It's not a party, it's a partay. You know, if you're not, you know, just wanting to do something without trying to take over from somebody or suppressing somebody else's viewers, I'm just, you know what, I'm going to pirate that. Pirate what? I'm going to pirate it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to hack it. You know, we're going to hack freedom, man, you know, whatever. And I see this coming, and I'm more confident about this being successful, this concept of decentralization through media, and certainly media, you know, information be decentralized, and you can ride that wave. I'm more confident about what's coming than I was about the Levolution, because the Levolution, I was for sure about, yeah, watch what happens, here we go. But now, this whole thing is a continuation of that. All that Trump represented was just this anti-status quo, not them, he's not them, perceived as much as a billionaire can be not them, you know. But I'm going, so I'm just like, there's and it's not geographical, it's generational. And I remember the enough experience, enough perception, enough focus, and enough maturity that my wife and I had at your age that I'm very envious. I already see what's coming, and you guys are going to be in this space for a while, you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about the ratcheting down on your income. People can make, you got popular video, you're good and you're talented at this stuff. Woo, we'll make some money. Well, then what do? Not so much. We're going to make sure you don't make any. Well, then things like watch my bit comes out. You know, there's alternative, and right there on the edge, here it comes. More with Aaron and Melissa Dykes in just a little bit.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
Yeah, this is, I'm wanting to see what we can do to help you in the future. But I tell you, you know, guys, a lot of times it's, you know, promoting our YouTube channel. I just see that as, that's fine, you know, here it is, but I need an alternative, some other place of, it's not going to go away, you know, server, not server, distribute something, you know, because I just see it as a waste of time if you're not promoting something that's never going to go away. It's in, you know, the basement of somebody in Finland's server of whatever the hell, you know what I mean?
We're jumping from boat to boat, but we kind of...
We're finishing up a feature-length documentary. So we put out Obsolete as a way to help try to fundraise towards finishing this feature-length documentary. And that's kind of what we're moving towards, is more documentary research, feature-length documentary films.
Awesome.
That's what we want to do. So, I mean, that's what we've always wanted to do. It's just we didn't ever have the resources to do it, and we've been saving every donation we've ever gotten towards this. So,
well, this is
what we're trying to do
what
now.
What we did, like with America, Freedom to Fascism, with Obama Deception, but we have, like, you know, got 100 other movies, and sometimes they're compilations, you know, things like we do Obama Deception, Freedom to Fascism, and Toward Liberty, the Ron Paul Revolution documentary, put them together, and we've done probably of just different combinations of Freedom to Fascism, we've probably made 150,000 DVDs, because what we do is we have a 3 11-stack duplicators. We can make 300 to 500 DVDs an hour, So we had donated to us over 50,000 DVDs, of which I got 20,000 left. They just keep coming in and going out, and, you know, and then people bringing in their own and doing, and the hell, they want to go do Zeitgeist or whatever, Be My Guest, whatever. So that's what, when Aaron went to the workshop, we had the duplicators there. Remember that room?
I think so. Yeah.
You know, so that was, we just keep doing these. So, I'll just rip you off, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it, because I'm a pirater, and you know what you're going to do. So this is, you sent me the movie or something. That was one thing. It took me a while to convince Aaron. I'm going, Aaron, God, man, I'm the best marketer you ever. Just quit your bitching, you know? And then after a while, when it started taking off.
Yeah, we'll send it to you when we get it done.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, what he did is he goes like this. He said, well, don't copy the director cut.
You know? Is that what you said?
Yeah, so he saw the benefit, you know, and it went stupid. And then, of course, you know, Restore the Republic, whatever, you know, and Gary Franchi and Next News Network, and all, they benefited from that whole thing. That it was because of that movie. So I'm all about the, man, I don't have no, you don't want me to know something, don't tell me, or don't do it, because I'm going to replicate it. So if you guys are in with that, being pirates,
absolutely,
you know, man, we're going to kick ass. All right, here we're coming back.
Listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, rock and roll and whatnot here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, hey, all right, we got our new best friends, new friends, Melissa and Aaron Dykes. You know, this has been truthstreammedia.com, which will be forwarded to anywhere the hell else they want when they're not on DARPA's internet anymore, and you guys can suck it, you know?
Yes.
And when that
yes.
happens... Are you ready to go? You getting everything all in your big giant backup hard drive? It's over here now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I'm hoping to commit it all to paper at the right moment too.
Yeah. Well,
we might lose a little data, but we got some.
No, yeah, here. We definitely are ready. I'm not sticking around for the demise of YouTube while they try to marginalize every single person who has any merit on that channel at all.
Oh, the YouTube hero thing. You got an opinion on that one?
Sorry.
Have you heard about YouTube heroes?
Oh, yeah. I did a video on that not too long ago. That's insane, Lee Orwellian. They're going to give people points to mass shut down videos now. You can just mass flag anything they want. And they're the way that they talk about what inappropriate content is, it's so vague that it's just going to be like see something, say something on steroids, I think.
No! They need the... Because the people are outside of the cages, and they can't have that. So they're going to get... You know, your neighbor, it's like the East German thing, you know, the rat on your neighbor, you know, and, oh, you can
absolutely
do it from your living room, you know, so this never works out well.
There's two things here. I mean, one is it is going to force all of us who are doing alternative media, independent stuff into another platform, which is good. We need the decentralized platform. We need our own place. That this is not going to happen. And they can't just shut everybody down, because it's like I said in the video, it's like fire ants. We'll just keep moving around. You can't really ever get rid of us. So that's the one thing. But secondly, I think what all this fake news, Russian propaganda, all these attacks on the alternative media have really shown is how reactionary the system still is. They're reacting. They're obviously having to handle the situation here, and this is how they're attempting to do it. And so it's actually kind of pathetic if you think about it, because they have all this technology at their disposal, and here's how they're going to try and do it, is just lies and creating troll armies. I mean, it's just really, it's kind of silly if you think about it, really, but they're reactionary. They have to react to us.
No,
I mean,
this is
who's got more power in that situation, you know?
This is what's happened throughout history. It always happens. You get consolidation of or something's popular, and they'll go after that and attack that, and then it diversifies some more, and it penetrates, and it gets lower and lower, and then it's just a culture thing. You know, like, Aaron, you were working with InfoWars. Tell me how that worked. I mean, I've met Alex. Know Alex has been on a show, and you kind of had him on. Charles, and you know, was producing, and kind of, you know, I get it. And we met, and we were at Camp Casey, and I get it. But, you know, it takes a big personality going, it's my way, and we're just going to plow through. But it seems like InfoWars has changed a little bit to where he's starting to, you know, kind of divert, let more talking heads kind of have their say. But there's a transitional time. Were you part of what happened with you in InfoWars? Did people have to just go, I'm going to do my own thing? Or what prompted that? What happened?
Yeah, Melissa came on board and we decided to leave and do our own thing. And I think it's for the better because I haven't been all about party politics and we're going to finally choose the right candidate.
You can vote your way out of this.
I thought Ron Paul was great, but at the same time, you know, his supporter list and his voter list and his donor list probably went to benefit another candidate. And I don't know if that's Trump or just whoever it ended up being. But for every issue that any one of these candidates can advocate properly and have a good position on, there's someone else in their administration or their advisors. And it's just, you know as well as I do, politics itself is never going to be the solution. It's just part of the expression of where culture has to go.
No, I'm hip. You know, so what is, just in case you want to share, you know, your impression of where InfoWars is now? Are they now the new mainstream? Are they going to be co-opted?
It really seems that way to me. I mean, I hate to say that. I'm sure that's going to upset a lot of people that know me from when I was there or know Aaron from when we were there. But, I mean, a lot of people think we left because we wanted to be together and start a new thing. And that is part of why we left. But really, it was ideological differences is why we left. I mean, really. And at the end of the day, if someone's going to tell you that you have to parrot a certain political, you know, opinion, and it's not the opinion you share, you have a choice. You can either take a paycheck and say things you don't ideologically agree with, or you can say, no, I'm sorry, I don't agree with that, I can't be bought to say that, and I'm leaving because I can't agree with you. And ultimately, I think we made the decision we had to make in that situation. But yeah, I get messages all the time from people asking me my opinion on this, and it's just like I'm shocked at some of the things I've seen come out of there. I mean, I feel like I'm watching a Fox News light.
No,
I don't recognize the place that I once worked at. Let's just put it that way. I don't recognize it.
Yeah, no, I can say. Well, I just got a message for a gentleman named his initials are Mike Schlegel, and He wanted me to ask that question. I don't know who Mike, you may know who Mike is. He may even be one of my listeners, but it's, they wanted that kind of what's the back end on this. And I remember when, last time I was on Alex's show, he got angry with me. He likes, you know, me to say, you know, the gang with a flag or government's just a gang with a flag thing. So that's one of his deals. But it was, when he was going, the FBI started, you know, coming and visiting him and everything. And they're coming, Ernie, the guy, I go, I know. I mean, you're over the target. I mean, I don't care. I'm not worried about them. Everybody's trying to change the government. They're trying to change the mind of some agency. They're trying to put the right guy in office. They're trying to appoint the right cabinet. They're trying
not
to
happen.
And I'm going, what to what? I mean, it's a sinking ship of the why we care. I'm not worried about that. It's you. It's us. It's what you're doing. This is where I'm supportive. So it's more than I'm trying to build a big database and have many followers on Facebook. I'm going, no, it's the advocacy of this decentralized movement that's coming. And no matter how many times I show, and there's been many before and since the Lovolution, when they saw the Lovolution, they really tried to suck me in to being Republican and help them go vote and precinct walk in a committee of what I'm going, hell no. My only goal was how long can I keep Ron up on that podium? That's all I cared about. You just keep talking and I'll get whatever support we can have and people rise up and put stuff on so you can keep talking at that podium. That's all I cared about. And then I'm a bad guy because I'm not going to support. Then Rand, well, you couldn't get me, you know, off my chair for that. And then, you know, and this Trump thing, we did the Trump report every Thursday for a year and a half. We're still doing it because one of the guys here, a friend that, man, he's all about Trump report. So I'm like, you're still voting? If you think you're going to vote yourself free, you have not been paying attention. So my thing with what you're doing, I see your efforts and your perspective and what you're having on YouTube as the future, but you're on their system. You got to have some other plan of support or something. I want to direct you towards, which is what the pirate thing is going to be about, is showing how you can pirate the system. It's not like you should. We're going, yeah, of course you should. We're pirates. But here's a place. Here's a platform. Here's the software. Here's the guys in, you know, freaking Finland that's doing it. Here's, you know, here. You know, so that's why you're my new best friends. You know what I mean?
Well, we'd love to join it. Yeah, absolutely. Because there, it's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic now at YouTube. It's just worthless. It really is. I don't even think any of the numbers that come up as far as subscribers or view counts or anything mean anything on that platform
we
anymore.
Knew that
I think
early
it's
on.
Just another way of pushing agendas or silencing.
You may remember early on it was RP4409, you know, 4409. He was really popular on doing 44. Shelton, 40, he was one of us here, 4409, reporting Freedom Speed 4409. And immediately, all of a sudden, he started making, early on, this is like 08, 9, 10, you know, they're oh, man, $1,000, $1,200, $1,500, $2,000 a month. I can make some money. Oh, are you kidding me? Boom. They started switching it down and what content you're doing and what's approved and what's motivating, what check is going to control what you get to say. And I'm going, what'd you think was going to happen?
Because this was always the plan for the internet in total. I mean, if you go back and read some of these reports that came out from the government back through the Cold War, the 60s and 70s. I mean, they were always planning a way to track the entire population using technology. And now, of course, we're walking around with a supercomputer in our pockets, a smartphone. We're all connected to the Internet of Things, and we're all being tracked all the time. And there's just no reason that anyone should trust any of these technologies. All of them came from the military. They were weaponized before they ever got to our door. So it's silly to think any different.
Hell, my smartphone has got chips all over, little black squares that say made in China everywhere. You know, and that's why I have a Think Penguin. That's another thing. ThinkPenguin.com. It's a Linux group, and I found these guys. They have open source hardware computers and laptops that are made to run Linux. So it's not like I got a hack. It comes loaded, ready. I'm like, you my new best friends, man. I'm just, everybody's going, oh, you just do the just button. You just do this. You just, I go, come show me this just button you guys keep talking about, you know? Oh, we're going to talk some more. And if they got a little bit of time to talk, go to the archive. Aaron and Melissa Dykes, truthstreammedia.com. I knew I'd make new best friends. I just knew it. There. Now we can just talk without worrying about breaks and so on.
Man, it's been so nice to meet you.
Well, this is, I see your work, and I'm always, we're putting it up on Freedom's Phoenix, but there's a lot of this. I mean, there's a lot of people that I'm sure you don't know about that are such, the strata is so wide, and I've been doing this since over like 30 years, since 88. So what's that, 28 years?
Oh, really?
So I, you know, my wife and I, we grew with little kids. Our, you know, like I think my wife was pregnant with our fourth child in 88. When I finally came aware of, I'm like, holy crap. See, how I came, my father manufactured a camping trailer for touring motorcycles called the Alcan Traveler. And it was really popular. It made the, you know, magazines, Go Wing World and Road Rider, all that kind of stuff. And they wanted it in Europe because they had just brought down the travel restrictions. You didn't need a passport to go from, like, you know, France to Spain or something. So they going to, oh, we're going to go travel Europe. You know, we don't have to worry about travel. We're going to travel Europe. This is before the European Union thing. So they would order, they wanted these Alcan trucks because they're a high quality, robust. They were $3,500 back then. I mean, that was like real money. So they would order, they wanted to order these by sea containers. I go, come on, Dad, we're going to save America. We're going to export America. Americans, man. We go, woo! Because in 88, when it was Bush versus Dukakis, the big number one issue was exporting, and they were propagandizing us, and, you know, flag-burning amendments and all this other bullshit. And when I'm going, seriously, a presidential election, you know, 200 and whatever million people at the time, and the biggest issue's flag-burning, you know, I'm going, come on, you know what the... And then you go, flip, ABC, NBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS, HBO, ABC, CNN. You just go through, there was the same five stories in the same order at the same time, and I'm like, who the hell is doing this? So as I started to understand, I go, there was a law called the Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act of 88 that they did right at the end of the Reagan administration going into Daddy Bush, and it was fascism written this inch-thick law that was how they're going to do it. And I read that thing, and I'm like, are you freaking... I know what this is. I remember in junior high, this is mixing a government and business. You can't tell the difference. That's fascism. So that's why I started, you know, bringing attention to this stuff, and then the only people that understood and had a clear head, and the mind fog was gone, and just, you know, well, of course, what did you think was the libertarians? The liberal what? I mean, you know, I never even heard of these guys. And then I had lawsuits. I went to the Ninth Circuit challenging 44 election law, blah, 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 blah. And then I run for office and do it. I run for national chair four times. I run for Congress three times. I run against John McCain in 04. I did. But I haven't voted for, God, since 02. And they go, you don't vote? And I'm like, oh, I'm glad you brought it up. Never ask Ernie that question, you know? So this has been my, I'm so glad to see at your age, you have children at this age, you have this knowledge, you have these skills, you have this ability. It's just you're on the wrong platform. I mean, I know it's now and kind of, you know, you, what's your alternative, but it's, I just want to encourage you to plan for the next one, because I saw it happening as an activist in the early 90s. It was going to bulletin boards. It was the Paul Revere net and Fido net and Alt net, whatever the heck outside. When they went World Wide Web, they were able to consolidate it. And you had internet service providers and ISPs and all that kind of crap. And I'm going, yep, we're screwed. We got to go another decade or two before we can fix. And I go, when video hits the internet, well, that technology is not just YouTube. So I could see what was happening. They consolidate it. Now it goes needs to go distributed again or decentralized. That's happening. Now, have you heard of Watch My Bit? You know what I'm talking about?
What? What's the last word?
Watch My Bit, B-I-T. You know?
Okay.
Okay. Now, this is what happened. A guy named Doug Scribner, they called him Doug Smoothie. And the reason was, back in, God, I don't know, 13 or something, he went to Pork Fest. He's an IT guy. He does audiovisual for conventions in LA or something, whatever. But he's a freedom anarchist geek. So what he did is he goes to Pork Fest and he set up this little cart to sell smoothies. It was when Bitcoin was $6 a Bitcoin. And he, so you want to know what you can do with that Bitcoin? You can buy my smoothie. He sat there for hundreds of Bitcoin. Get, yo, buy a smoothie. I got some, you know, smoothie for your Bitcoin. Well, then all of a sudden he's like, you know, na 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 na, all right? So he takes that money and he creates Watch My Bit. It's YouTube, but instead of watching the 5 second whatever, it just, you click on the button and a QR code comes up, you go blip, and it's 10 cents, a quarter, whatever to watch it. And it immediately gets distributed however you want to cut it up. If you're a band member, you go, the guitar players get it, and this guy, maybe the drummer even gets some, you know, and you go, boom. It just distributed immediately. You're not going through, you know, agents and labels and all that kind of stuff. If you're doing documentaries, if you're doing, so Watch My, I didn't even look at it for a while. It keeps, you know, growing them doing whatever. But you have a cryptocurrency that immediately pays the dime to watch and you support and you get more and you do and done. But to make it work, they went and put it on initially they had it on Amazon servers. And I'm going, oh, yay. Right next to the CIA's next drone strike, you know, that makes me feel better, you know. So,
yeah.
So they're developing this along with this new internet that's distributed or decentralized, like nodes. And I'm going, okay, you need to watch the videos on madesafe.net, and you'll kind of get the idea. This is coming; it's already there, and we've been covering this, waiting for this platform for people just like you.
It'd be great, you know, because, you know, we just put our movie on Amazon Prime, and it's great because you can make more letting people watch it for free than you can selling copies. I'd be happy to sell copies, but it's just you can't get the volume, and then not as many people see it. And
well, you don't need a lot. How do you get paid for that?
You need a little bit to keep going.
But it's Amazon, and we realize that's limited.
And their competitor is Netflix. They're on the same servers.
Well, how,
like you
really?
Said, they're on the Amazon servers,
really?
And that's great until they start the clamp down the way YouTube has.
Well, tell me how you're on Amazon Prime, you got a documentary up there, and I go watch it. What's the contract? What's the cut? How does that work?
I think it's 15 cents for every 60 minutes streamed. So it's a little bit here and there. It's not as much as it could be, obviously.
We can promote the crap out of it. You know, send me, you know, I'll go watch. We can put, you give me banner ads. I'll put on Freedom's Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, it's we'll send you the link, sure.
We're trying to make, we haven't finished making it into a DVD because we have some extras we want to get on there, and we got to do all that compiling, and we have kind of old computers here, but we're trying to get that onto a DVD. And so
I procrastinated a little.
It's a little procrastinated too because of Christmas. But once we do that, we can definitely send that to you. I mean, we just haven't, it was almost kind of like a boycott to not put it on YouTube. And there are people who are follow our channel that are angry at us that we didn't put it on YouTube, because not every country can watch Amazon Prime. But it just, it was like, I just don't want to get this thing I worked really hard on shut down for who knows 15 different reasons they decide to find, because you know they'll single out a 10-second clip that's totally fair use, and then they'll say, well, yeah, your whole video
we'll put it up there anyway. I don't mind being on any platform, I just don't want to be contained and
censored
by it. Or them using it, you know, and as a justification to screw you somewhere else. You know, the what happened when we were doing the show, we started doing you know, we do video and the audio because we were streaming on Next News one time too. And so we take the file and we just, you know, put it up. Well, we went to Blip TV for a while, and they started, you know, doing the same kind of crap. And Vimeo has left us alone so far. But I have my own servers. I just put it there if I want. I got a big file. I just, you know, dump it. And I'm waiting for the next internet. Well, what happened was when YouTube, and we started, you hear, you know, some of my, you know, rejoiners, you know, if I got, you know, some classic rock and roll. Need a girl, the autumn moonlight. No, hell no. Man,
you're trying to be Robert Plant. That's just not your thing.
Yeah, you're. Oh no, you're not allowed. But you know, from classic rock and roll, that was the communication for me in the 70s and 80s. That's how they communicated with the youth. It was music. Well, that was kind of controlled and screwed up, and the record label didn't understand anyway. But you got Rush going out and Queen, you know, doing, you know, whatever, and it's anti-establishment of damn it. Then it gets, you know, hardcore rap of, you know, gangster rap. And then there, you know, Charlton Heston's freaking out, Time Warner, the stockholder meeting of yada, yada, they're going to control everything. So I'm going, you know, when I do this, YouTube started sending, they go, oh, we're, no, you're going to lose your hour ability or however long you down to 15 minutes, or you, this one's right. Been flagged because it's got, you know, 15 seconds of, you know, you did whatever. And I'm going, you know, immediately, I mean, like day one, you know, F you. I go, I am not going, nope, I already see where this goes from just that. And that was like 09 or something. So when that happened, or even earlier, when that happened, when we were still at the studio down that you visited, and now we have a studio up in North Phoenix, but I'm going, you know, I am no. And that's why I've been advocating for people that are successful like you, that you have been able to break out and maintain some income, even though they do this. But you should be making gazillions of dollars, and that's what they're afraid of. Skateboarding freaking dogs get more views than Bill O'Reilly, okay? They can't have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I always find this conundrum, too, because I'm perfectly comfortable with the idea of libertarian, but I've always found there's also, like, a big L and a little L, and there's the little L libertarians. They want to be left alone, and sometimes they're friendly with the big L libertarians, but the big L libertarians, I mean, of course, they don't want to pay taxes either, and they want to have their big corporate stuff, but they also dig into the government pie. And today you'll find some of the biggest proponents of liberty and libertarianism and freedom. They're in Silicon Valley, and they're building these platforms, and they control them, but they're also on the DARPA boards and the Pentagon boards, and they're getting subsidies and, you know, the whole deal.
Well, this is, I mean, you get like an Elon Musk, and yeah, you're subsidizing of your electric, and he goes, hey, man, you know, stop subsidizing the other energy and oil, and we'll compete even less rock. And then he gets on, you know, with Trump's thing, and I don't know what's going to happen. But it, see, for me, that, I got to give you a good example. Texas Bitcoin Conference, you know, we're there, I don't know, what was it, like 2 years ago, the one that was in downtown Austin, and the Willie Nelson Theater or whatever. And we're there, and Paul Snow that puts it on, I'm, you know, starting off Sunday. We're sitting up there, I'm on the couch, and they're doing the thing. I just came in, I just started using Uber. Now, Austin, I think later said you can't, now you can, whatever, I'll quit it. But I would do the Uber thing, and the guy's telling me how he gets paid, what percentage goes to Uber, he gets a 1099, yada, yada, yada. The previous year at the Texas Bitcoin Conference, they had come up with a ride-sharing thing called Lazoos, which was, I don't know, is Hebrew for, because he won some tech hacker thing in Tel Aviv, and he brought it there, and he won $250,000 or whatever. So the idea is that, like, Cell 411 Connect now, and you need to know about that, Cell 411. C-E-L-L 411, you know, .com. Go look at Cell. If you don't know about it, you need to know about it, okay? So this is all this decentralization of emergency services, of police, of I'm being abducted, or bring a defibrillator, a fire extinguisher, a gun, or whatever, and don't shoot my dog, and you know, whatever, come help me. Because this is us taking care of it. And then they took that platform, which was Peacekeeper. We were looking forward to that, but that didn't quite take off. So Cell 411. They have Cell 411 Connect, and this is what Lazoo's thing was too. That on your smartphone, there is no central server they kick in on Uber. It's just on your cell phone, and you pay in cryptocurrencies. So you can get ride sharing, and it's immediate, and it works the same, and they don't know it. They can't tell who's doing anything. Gosh darn it, man, they just can't stand that. So when we're sitting up there talking about this, I'm going, look, just last year you guys had this decentralized ability to do ride sharing like Uber, and they're not taking a cut. You're not filing 1099s. You can do it a lot cheaper. You can get more predictable. That's the ant. Well, then he goes, well, let's turn to the lawyer and see what he has to say. Well, they had the SEC come visiting, and they had the FBI, and they had, you know, all these at this thing going to tell us, you know, scare you into don't be too free because we're watching kind of thing. And I go, what do I, if I have to care what the politicians, the regulatory agencies, or this attorney has to say, it's the wrong tech. I don't give a shit what they say. If I have to care, I did it wrong. This is my point. This is what's coming. And quality journalists like yourself, having a platform outside of them that will drive the people to this new platform. So that's why I'm sharing this stuff with you. It's already happening. I've been covering it for years, and we're right on the edge of they don't matter, which is why they're freaking the F out, in my opinion.
Yeah, we're on board for that. I'm ready to, I don't know, my last several videos, you could see where I've been putting up less content just because of the YouTube censorship and the way that things have been. So we're ready to find something else. And I've been saying we just need to find whatever the next thing is. So if there's the next thing, we're ready to go to it.
Yeah, it'll be the next thing after that and the better thing of that. And it'll kind of go in diversity of, you know, who cares, you know?
Yeah.
Now, Trump will create his own freaking social network of Trump TV in the White House or something. I mean, you know, whatever. Who cares? The other thing, I just sent you guys last segment an email that has some of the artwork and the web page and the, you know, our update as of whatever, and Scott Beezer's update on the ship and all that. Can you check your email?
Sure.
I just want you to see where we're going with this. We just finally kind of got the final design that we're going to start detailing on the ship. And then there's the masthead for the page, and then there's the web page, and how we're going to, you know, decentralize different categories, and the API that feeds from Freemus Phoenix into some of the category. I mean, you know, we're doing a bunch of back end stuff, but it's getting ready to launch. We're going to launch it. We have a party January 20th, which is the inauguration, but it's also that night, 21st, midnight on 21st, is the 10th anniversary of the creation of the first Ron Paul meetup, Revolution meetup that we did here in Phoenix. So 10 years, boom, we're launching the pirate kiss my butt thing.
Wow, yeah, we got it. We're looking at it right now.
Very nice.
This gives me hope because people, we've done a couple of other interviews, and we did one with Sean over at SGT Report the other day, and he kept saying, what's the positive thing to say? What's the glimmer of hope thing to say? You know, because he was asking me what I think about Donald Trump, and I said, well, if you want to know my honest opinion, I feel like he's draining the swamp right into his cabinet, and I can't just sit here and champion the guy who just filled, you know, the whole thing with Goldman Sachs and act like I think it's different somehow, the way that everyone acted like they thought Obama was different somehow, when they're all the same, and I'm just seeing more of the same all the time. And he wanted me to say something like, what's the glimmer of hope? Well, right now, I'm not sure. I'm just kind of sitting back and waiting. I don't know what's going on right now with the politics or why I have to find a glimmer of hope in them, because I feel like they're kind of a dead-end road. But this right here that you've sent us, I mean, that makes me feel a lot better to know that there is something that people are trying to do, because I don't see how they can really ever get, silence. That's what they want to do with the internet, is silence whole groups of people and be able to control communication. I think that's why Google changed its, got that parent company, and they named it Alphabet. I mean, how Orwellian can you get?
Right.
And they're censoring everything from search results to YouTube video. I mean, everything you can think of, they're controlling that stuff. And that's always been the plan for that stuff. But there has to be some other place, because I can't imagine just entire swaths of the population going, well, I guess they silenced me. I have no other options. So,
well,
I guess
the pirate ship metaphor is good, because these places, these major platforms, it's like being on a cruise ship. It's okay for a couple of days, but if you stop to think about it, you don't really have any freedom. And if you don't enjoy the supposed food and entertainment,
now you get your 80% own pirate
of people
ship.
On board, you have no rights. But if you got your own ship, you can do your own thing.
Okay. This is... all right, I go around the world whenever I'm asked to speak or doing, you know, my most recent things are why I'm so optimistic. I just go, look, why I'm so optimistic, you know, Ernest Hancock, whatever. I go, Porkfest, Narcopoco, you know, wherever. I'm going, let me tell you why I'm so optimistic. If you look on Freedom's Phoenix, on the far left side, it has top tech news. It's just all the tech stuff. Well, for years... you know, decade, I'm covering all the innovations of what's, you know, empower. It's like, you know, the printing press, 15 gazillion different ways from Sunday on everything, you know, and it's decentralizing down to the individual. That's the power. That's what a lot of people don't realize. Because keep in mind, from my standpoint in the 80s, what am I seeing? Wayne's World. You know, Wayne's World, party on, excellent. You know, what were they doing? They were broadcasting from their grandma's basement on satellite. You know, a cable news show. And that was all Saturday Night Live from the basement. Yeah, Wayne's World, party on. I'm going, that's what's going to happen. What the hell you guys think is you're not going to be able to stop it. So what'd they do? They tried to bring him into the networks, you know, that kind of thing. So this has been in my head forever. Now, the technology that I'm showing, go ahead and pull up a search image. I want to show you something, freak you out. All right? This is what I already see coming. And I've been in my magazine. If you go to Freedom's Phoenix, at the top it says Freedom's Phoenix Magazine, and the covers, a lot of this is the artwork from our covers. Now, if you go on image search and you put airship, one word, airship space halo, H-A-L-O. Now, what you're going to see is these airships are already being built right now. But they, you know, like big Zeppelins. So you get to live on your own thing. Well, if I'm a gazillionaire oil, you know, sheik of...
Hold up. I got to be right back. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go, man.
He's got to go to the bathroom.
No,
I can see it, though. I've got it pulled up.
Now, you can see it has underneath this airship, they have a yacht. You know, they have that halo thing goes down, has your speedboats and your scuba gear and whatever. You live in your airship. So I'm going... okay, now some of these you can see, they go up to the atmosphere, and you just turn on the rocket engines and boom. You just got to get, you know, orbital velocity, but you're above all the atmosphere. So then that's what that ship is, that pirate ship, is Firefly class kiss my ass cargo, got cannon. You see my point?
Yes.
So then where's it landing? And you see the Pirate Cove. That's a place here called Canyon Lake. It's kind of modeled after. But you got the ocean there. And you got your little Pirate Cove. If you want to land and you're getting resupplied or delivering or whatever, boom, I'm off. You're giving me crap, man. I got, you know, you can vertically take off and land. Now, these airships, they have these pads that you land on that are like a hovercraft that kind of skims around or whatever, you know. Or instead of mooring lines, it sucks you down. It sucks you down on the ground so you don't, in winds, you can stay on the ground. So I'm going, this is why we designed this ship the way it was. It's to have a free, autonomous, I'm going in the air. Now what are you going to do? Oh, we rule that too. Okay, well, I'm going to freaking Alphys and kiss my ass. Now what?
It's great.
It's a mindset. And if we keep arguing over how YouTube is screwing us, that's time wasted. Make them obsolete, build your own.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. I think the main reason that I did that video to begin with is because there were so many people talking about, you know, what's happening, but they weren't showing what's actually going on. And I just wanted people to be aware, like, this is how it actually is now.
No. I'm glad you did it. I'm with you, sister. That's why you're on. I'm going, yeah, she gets it. Yeah, I'm going, yeah, they get it. Freaking, they experience, they know. But I'm going.
But I'm ready to leave. But I'm definitely. I'm over YouTube. So over it. Like, I'm ready to be done with it. It sucks the joy out of trying to, you know, edit film. When that's why we tried to put obsolete on some other platform. Of course, Amazon. I mean, I know I understand that's just as bad in many ways. But I mean, we were at least trying something else, just anything else at this point, because we have this film that we've been working on for 2 years now.
Damn.
And We did so much research. We've spent so much time in the library, having books brought up from storage that no one's even checked out in 50 years and stuff like that. And we're just, I mean, at this point, we're talking to people that have put out alternative documentaries to try and figure out distribution companies, because we don't want to put it on any of these platforms and have it get screwed over, because it's probably, I don't know, at this point, I feel like it's my life's work. I mean, I know I'm only 37, but I feel like I've never worked so hard on anything in my life. So to then put that up somewhere and have it just be censored or shut down would be horrible. You know?
Yeah, F them. You know what? Okay, I tell you what. What is the subject of the new documentary? It's what?
Subject of the new documentary is we've done research into where MK Ultra went. Are you familiar with MK Ultra?
Yep.
So all of the Cold War experimentation on mind control and what was actually, we went back and found like the scientific documents and we researched the people that were actually involved, not the CIA people, the people behind all of that, the foundations and stuff like that. Cause we wanted to see, cause you know, they talked about all that stuff in the '70s. They had all these people come out and say, oh, it's the LSD. And they had halfway houses with, you know, hookers and stuff like that. And they made it sound all, you know, salacious and crazy, and everyone just kind of dismissed it as an insane time or whatever. But that's really just what the public was told at that time. That's what that project was about, and that's not actually what happened at all. Actually traced it back and gotten the documents and the books and the scientific papers, and I mean, the stuff that we found is insane. And okay, it's definitely a story that's never been told.
Okay, are you familiar with Richard Grover at Tragedy and Hope?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you know about his brain and all that stuff, right?
That you know about his brain. Oh, yeah. Aaron was in that. Aaron was in the movie Shadow Ring with him.
Oh, okay. So you got it. So what you're talking about? I'm going, hell, man. That sounds like you need to know about the Tragedy and Hope brain. You can go research all that stuff there. So you know, yeah. Richard and I were good friends. He's stayed here, you know, and hung out, and you know, him and Lisa, you know, vacation at our home, and kind of we're styling. We go to Pork Fest, so on. So I love me some Richard and how they get a lot of this information. Now, the other thing is that there's other resources and people that doing the same kind of thing. You're focusing on what? The, you know, beginnings of the minds behind the CIA mind control thing? Is that the focus of the whole documentary?
You could say it was a quest to actually control the mind at a neuroscientific, neurophysiological level. Mm-hmm. And it was always about the whole population, much more than any spy versus spy plot. I suppose there were some. But behind the scenes, you had Russian and Soviet scientists working hand in hand with the American scientists. And Pavlov, in particular, was mentor to quite a few of the most significant figures. And they've taken it all the way to the point where they're trying to electrify the human brain. They're trying to map it and recreate it.
They were trying to
their digital computers of the day.
They were trying to basically make an analogy for the human brain as a computer, and then figure out how to program it. And so you had crazy technologies that they were working on, and they were successful with things like beaming sound into people's ears in the 70s. Yeah. You had the Russian military putting whole towns to sleep. I mean, you had serious stuff that no one ever talked about it. It never came out. And the groups that were behind this, they were working on this stuff before World War II. And they were talking about how, you know, what kind of world are we going to build after World War II, and how they had to have a new world man that would fit into the new world that they were going to be building after World War II, and how it was a global community, how psychiatry was not going to be about the individual anymore. It was going to be about building a healthy society.
And so the whole society was the patient.
The whole society was the patient, and they were going to program, basically, like a computer, like a robot, the new world man. And you've still got documents in the CIA today about cybernetics that are still classified. You cannot read them to this day. I mean, you can read all the stuff you want about MKUltra hookers and halfway houses and LSD and all that stuff. The sub-project documents, they said they were boilerplates to begin with. You can read all that stuff now, and it's fine. It's out there, and no one cares. But if you try to get some documentation on their cybernetics unit from back in the 40s, or, you know, back when they first started and back in the 50s and stuff, you try to look at some of that documents, that stuff is still classified.
Yeah,
so what
at
they were doing
said,
then and what they're doing now, and it ties into the world we live in today seriously, yeah. Big time. It's pretty astounding stuff.
Well, you have right here, you know, you're talking about the sleeping sickness, the mystery of Kazakhstan sleeping sickness solved, says government, blah, blah. Is that the one you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about like back in the 70s, it came out that they were experimenting with some technology, the Russian military was, and they actually put a whole town to sleep. They made everyone go to sleep. Kazakhstan could also be technology being tested on people. I haven't really looked into it, but I know for a fact that in the 70s, it's come out on record that they were able to put a whole town to sleep. They had a machine which they gave over to one of our scientists over here, and he was doing research on it in California, that was able to do the same thing to a whole room full of people. It was like a flicker machine that used electromagnetic frequency waves, and they were able to make a whole, you know, auditorium of people fall asleep, basically. And they brought a prototype of that over here, and we were researching on it. They were holding hands with each other the whole time. We supposedly had this Cold War going on, and it's the Reds, and oh my God. Yeah. But, you know, behind the scenes, these scientists were working together the whole time. So the Cold War did not extend to this.
You know, this is the kind of, you know, in the 90s when I first became an activist, and I just came up with this short story. Basically, it goes like this, is that sooner or later, they're going to add another track to movies. You have the visual, you know, movie, then they did a soundtrack on the side, and then there's going to be, you know, surround soundtrack, and then you got the smell-o-vision track, and then there was a kid out of India came up with five chemicals in combination you could smell, whatever, and all of a sudden you're on, you know, Saving Private Ryan with the salt air and the blood and guts on the beach of Normandy kind of crap, and, you know, Braveheart feeling, you know, you're in the medieval, you know, shitstorm, bring out your dead. And I'm going, okay, you know, you have a smell. I go, I tell you what, when they start getting in to where they put the box on top of the T, goes with the satellite, and they're doing the smell, and all of a sudden with the electromagnetic kind of whatever, they got a little thing on there also while they're watching me, and I see a Hillary Clinton commercial, and all of a sudden I get sexually aroused, I know they're screwing with me. Okay.
So, well, I mean, you have to think about it. Why did the government subsidize, what, $8 billion to get everyone on digital? Some people try to make the claim that it was just to open up channels for the military, but I think that's BS. They were able to take us from analog, which if, you know, you layer a signal in analog, you can see it with fuzz on your TV. I mean, you could see the disruption, but you can layer as many signals as you want now in that television. I mean, we've interviewed Catherine Austin Fitz. I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she told us a story about how she overheard when she was working in Wall Street in the 80s, they were talking about adding brainwave entrainment technology to the television in, what, 1984? Nice year, right? But, I mean, she was talking about then. She overheard this conversation. It made her go home and throw out her television set. She's just like, I can't. I know too much about what they're doing with this stuff. And that technology's all been on record. I mean, these are the kinds of things that they were working on, is being able to control and program the whole of society. I mean, we're not talking about, they try to make it sound like MKUltra was this, you know, clandestine, we're going to, you know, train these secret agents so that they can, you know, get into a situation and have no memory of the information they're transmitting, and then, you know, or Manchurian candidates or stuff like that. And I'm not saying that kind of stuff didn't exist, but what I'm saying is the majority of what happened behind that program was not about that at all. It was about the whole of society, and it was about likening the human organism to a computer and then reprogramming it.
And here's what's important about that. People hear that and they say, well, I'm not a computer. I'm consciousness. I'm connected to God. I'm spiritual.
Yeah, you're electrons.
I think everyone knows that. And in fact, you may not realize it. Most of these scientists believe that too. It's just that they know there's a sort of animal in man, or kind of mechanistic part of man, whatever you want to call it, that they can access directly through the central nervous system. You don't have to be conscious of it at all, and it could be messing with you based on fears and attitudes and moods and right up the Maslow's hierarchy. And if they keep you at the base of the pyramid, obsessed with security and food and sex and stimulus and violence, you're not going to have time to think about bigger issues.
You know, this is the one thing that I keep emphasizing with the audience a lot. You know, it's like, yeah, like you're saying, brainwave, you're electrons. I mean, it's going to be, you know, signals and neurotransmitter, kind of, you're a machine. It's just biological. But they can hack it. If they can, they will. You know, they always go, Ernie, what about this conspiracy? What about this and this thing and that thing they're doing? And what I'm going, I don't know. Can they? Can they maintain, enhance, expand their intrusiveness and control over the individual to their benefit, you know, by doing whatever the hell it is that you're talking about? Can they? Well, can guess freaking what? They are, okay? Is what they, we wouldn't do that. We wouldn't, you know, like, hack the elections, because that'd be wrong. I mean, you know, I'm going, come on. You know?
I mean, if they could, would they? And if they were going as far as what people do know, why wouldn't they go further? It doesn't even make sense to think that that just came out in the 70s and then it all just went away.
No, that was wrong.
FOIA requested the CIA on a lot of these doctors who were putting electrodes in people's brains and pressing buttons and making them have, you know, I mean, they were able to put an electrode into people's brains and then press the buttons on the little control panel and make them cry, make them suddenly decide they were gay. I mean, they were doing all kinds of crazy stuff to people's brains, and we FOIA requested all these guys who were involved in this stuff, and the CIA said we can neither confirm nor deny any information about any of these people, any of them, which just tells me obviously there's something they don't want to give you, because if there was nothing, they'd just say no. So clearly, that information is still classified today. All the stuff about biocybernetics in the CIA is still classified today. I mean, the American Cybernetics Society, when it started in this country, which was in 64, one of the first directors of it was from the CIA. So that should tell everybody everything they need to know.
Their first high-profile guest was from the Soviet Union.
So, I mean, there's a whole thing behind this, and it was funded by, like, the Macy's Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation and the Ford Foundation, and that's the story that's never been told about that, but it bears so much relevance to the society that we see today where, you know, everyone's walking around with their face buried in a phone, and they're not even seeing what's going on around them. I mean, you've got crimes being committed in the streets and people just pull out their phone like they're not, you know, they'll go watch their kids sing at a Christmas pageant, but they don't watch their kid. They actually just hold a phone at their kid the whole time like they're ever going to watch that video again. They're not even experiencing their lives anymore. Meanwhile, you had the NSA back in the 70s. You had people from the NSA writing, you know, scientific articles in the IEEE about how, you know, we need to track at least half the population. If we can get a tracking device on half the population, we'll really be able to track everybody. And, I mean, you know, this kind of stuff has been going on for decades, and it's never been really discussed or talked about. And I guess we started the research into it because we just wanted to know what really happened there, or have half a clue, because we knew that the story about, oh, it's just LSD and prostitutes was BS. I mean, you know, and so we just started researching it because we were wondering, you know, what's really going on with all that. And it just turned into this huge, we drove all the way to Canada and filmed some of the places where these sub projects took place. I mean, we've interviewed people. We interviewed John Rappaport because he's one of the guys that, you know, has done copious amounts of MK research. And Aaron was interviewing him for the film, and he was going, wow, I didn't even know that stuff, man. We were telling him things he didn't even know about. And so we realized, like, wow, we're really onto a topic here that I don't think anyone's ever really discussed in this way ever, with information that no one's ever talked about. And I guess ultimately that's why we've been doing less YouTube, just because we're trying to edit this film. It's only two people. Our credits look ridiculous because it's just us.
Yeah.
But I don't want to put this up on Amazon or YouTube and have it be censored. So I don't even care if I have to make 100,000 DVDs in my office and hand them out on street corners. I mean, I just think this is an important movie, because when you look at society today and how robotized some people seem, I mean, I feel like we're moving towards surrogates with Bruce Willis or something. Like, we're all going to live in our house with VR helmets and no one's ever going to go outside. But it's just, when you look at the control that, you know, I mean, they've even been able to show in research projects like Facebook, for example, they did that huge thing where they loaded people's newsfeed and they were able to change their emotions. You know, they've got research projects that the Air Force is running now where they put magnets up to people's brains and it changes their opinion. They can get them to change their opinion on God or immigration issues. I mean, this is stuff that's actually going on today. And where did it come from? And we found out where it came from and what the plan has actually been. And it's pretty insane.
Okay,
information for three movies here, you know?
I'm in, because I give you my perspective and what I share with the audience on a regular basis. I'm going, look, it's got to the point to where there's so much supporting evidence of what they're doing, the collectivized, we rule you kind of crap, is not working. You know, it's not working. It doesn't work economically. It doesn't work, you know, freedom oriented. It doesn't keep people on. They have to change humanity. They have to physically change the way our brains work. They have to hack it. They have to hijack with nutrition or chemicals in the water, air, whatever, or just electromagnetic pollution of it comes from my, you know, device, TV, of who gives
exactly.
a crap.
Exactly. So I'm and that's what these people behind this were talking about at the time. They were saying that they were evolving mankind with this technology. Right. They were evolving us into the new world man that we are today. I mean, you've seen it. I mean, you know, you can't even go to the grocery store now without somebody making a phone call in the produce section about broccoli. Like, when did that start? I mean, I was around in the 80s. I know I'm still young, but we didn't have that. We didn't have that going on. People could actually leave their house without a phone. It was amazing.
No.
Right? We don't have that now. We have people that have multiple phones. You go to the dinner, you go to eat dinner out in a public place and you look around and everyone's really quiet because whole tables of families are just all face down in a phone.
Yep.
I mean, they have evolved everyone. We have merged with our smartphones.
We've been doing
a historical only focus, and that's what the movie's going to deal on, but it's extremely relevant today because yep. there's the argument that we live in the world brain and we're neurons on the internet through this grid on the world brain, and if they want to snuff out some neurons or disconnect part of the brain, that's something they're thinking about. But our biggest vulnerability is that we're consciousness trapped in a body and brain that has to use perception. So in a way, that silly fake news thing, it's kind of true about our lives because we have no direct connection with the external stimuli that we make decisions on. And we have to interpret that. And for the most part, we can assume that our natural evolution, our God-given things, you know, it's equipped us decently. But they know specifically and in very scientific terms how to hack that and change our perspective and skew it. And it's an information command and control grid. And the irony of this whole research is that the very people who set up the missile control systems for the post-war military-industrial complex are the same scientists who were looking at controlling populations, individuals, and they set up those systems. Some of them were involved in setting up the internet. And the same electromagnetic technology that allows submarines to communicate can also affect the weather, but of course also animals and man. And so it's a lot of commonalities that they can use and manipulate in one direction and the other.
If they can... They are.
Yeah, sure.
And if they can, they are. And that's what they were actually trying to do. And I think when the stuff came to light, because they knew that it would, because all that stuff was breaking in the 70s, and all there was that huge fight against all the doctors that were putting in the electrodes. Stuff was coming out about doctors in Sweden working for the CIA, putting electrodes in mental patients and things like that. I mean, the stuff was going to come out, and they knew it. And I think what they did was because the guy who broke all that, he worked for the State Department. And a lot of people don't remember that, but he did. He's the one that got all the financial documents and ended up being the sub-project documents, which they said were boilerplates anyway for MKUltra. But, I mean, what better cover than being like, oh, we were the CIA and it was the Cold War and we had to do what we had to do because the Russians, because the Chinese, because brainwashing, which, by the way, brainwashing in and of itself was brought over here and propagandized by a CIA journalist. So that was always going to be the cover for this grander society-wide global project that was coming out of like places like the Rockefeller Foundation, which makes it even more hilarious if you think about the fact that it was the Rockefeller Committee that was overseeing the investigation into the MKUltra activity. Like, come on. They're the ones that helped fund and start the project. I mean, Nelson was working at what was it, the Department of Health and Education and Welfare?
Yeah.
Hugh. In what, the early 50s when they first started doing some of this experimentation. I think that they basically figured out if they wanted to get the grid that they really wanted, the control they really wanted over society technologically, they were going to have to do some pretty unethical research. And I think that that's where they buried it, under the CIA, because that's one of the best, if it comes out, I mean, that's one of the best cover stories you have for why you're doing that, because they never brought out the bio-cybernetic stuff. And when anything finally did come out about that, it was a memo to the Warren Commission, which was a joke because you had Dulles sitting on the Warren Commission, and that memo that they had was talking about the Russians were doing bio-cybernetics, which is bull because they were doing it at the exact same time as well. And they knew that, but they never thought that memo was going to come out, I guess, because I don't even know why they talked about that stuff.
Now, are you familiar with the Technocracy Rising, Technocrats, and Technocracy.news and Pat Wood and all that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know if I know that individual, but
familiar
with the concept, of course.
Yeah, the concept.
Well, he wrote a book recently last year called Technocracy Rising. He just started a website called technocracy.news, and he lives here in Scottsdale. And I had never heard about, because as an activist, you start in, like early 90s, and this is before the internet really gets going, and you still have like meetings and so on. And then, and we had like tomorrow morning, we have the Arizona Breakfast Club that's been going on for like 43 years. And, you know, since late 60s. I mean, this has been a thing that we inherited. And when early 90s, I'm an activist, you go and I would speak and get to know the people and so on. And what would happen is they go, well, you got to know about this. And you get all these big charts on council on foreign relations and the trilateral commission and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And you get, and then, you know, they'll go, no, your tinfoil hat, until you get a picture of them celebrating their 40th anniversary on their webpage. I mean, you know, it's just, they did just BS until they can't BS. And then they go, yeah, we were always here. Oh, you didn't know that. I mean, so the the technocrats, he wrote a book called, what was it? Trilaterals Over Washington. You're familiar with that one?
Oh, yeah.
So when he did that and he worked with, you know, what's his name? Sutton over at Hoover Institute. This guy is now here. It has his own technocracy.news website that's going, look, they're doing it. Everything that we were talking about. And then you got Technocracy Rising, the book. And then you have, it was Brzezinski. Oh, here's another thing. You guys probably know this. I did not know this. And Scott Horton last week gave me a whole bunch of crap and making fun of me on air and what an idiot I am because I didn't know this one thing. I knew that Brzezinski did Between Two Ages, America's Role in Technotronic Era, Rockefellers, you know, Make Nice. They do the trilateral. They start invading all the governments at every level, and they rule us. I mean, you kind of know what I'm talking about, right?
Right, right.
So as they do this, they're going in, and then all of a sudden, yeah, well, Brzezinski's daughter on whatever. And I'm going, what? Mika Brzezinski on with Joe Scarborough on Morning on MSNBC is Brzezinski's daughter.
Yeah.
Nobody told me that.
Pretty interesting, isn't
Nobody
it?
Nobody told me that. So I look at her. She gets out of college in 90, immediately goes to ABC News and World Report right out of college. I'm like, yeah, right. Then she goes off and gets some bona fides, it does something. Then she's standing there when the second tower is collapsing behind her. She's on air. I'm going, are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
It, but the book you named, Between Two Ages, he wrote back in the 70s, Brzezinski, and he highlights on the psychotronic warfare and a lot of these really high-tech ways of controlling the mind, populations, and it's real stuff. And you can look it up. I guess the good news is, we can look it up. We have people out there. You can find out the names and go look them up. But obviously, it was pretty close to foreign policy if he was writing about it in that time. And his basic framework for what was going to happen in the age of information and the internet has come true. And it gives them incredible power.
Wet
dream. It gives us some power.
Wet dream. Wet dream. Everything they won, we got a little smart meter of we know what, and you turned on and did, and your phone and microphone did, and kind of everything. You know,
absolutely. I mean, we've got a city near here and a report that's half finished and it's now been put on the back burner. But we've got a smart city in Austin that they're saying if this works out well, this is how it's going to be in 20 years all across major cities all across America, where major corporations are hooked into your house and can know pretty much every move you make based on smart appliances and smart plugs that send out frequencies every 15 seconds from every appliance in your house. God. So they could basically map where you've been and what you've done in your house. Every time you take a piss, they know exactly where you are.
Oh, hell, they can make the you want to take a piss.
Who wants to live like that? That's an insane world, but that's the one they're trying to move us towards right now.
I'll tell you who wants to live like nutty. That. The people that want to live like that are the ones that are getting their monthly stipend from the man.
Well, and that's the thing. Davos and all those people talking about this UBI. I mean, after we put out Obsolete, you had Elon Musk come out and say UBI is the way to go. You had the United Nations come out and do a report saying 2/3 of the third world is going to be unemployed. We have to do UBI. Canada has just approved UBI, so they're actually going to do it. Like I said, the Bilderberg guy is doing it in California right now.
Okay, UBI, so when you say that.
This is coming. This is definitely coming. I mean, unless some other thing happens. But what I keep thinking is, how are they really going to move us onto this paradigm? Because you've got people over at Davos, like, what's her face, the prime minister from Denmark? No, what was she? She's some kind of interior ministry or MP from Denmark, and she did a report.
She's a Davos person.
She's a Davos elite person, and she did a whole report about how in the future of 2030, we're going to live in these cities, and no one's going to own anything. You're not going to own any of your own property. You're not even going to own your own clothes. Everyone is going to be time-sharing everything. There's no reason to own any property whatsoever, and all of your fun, you know, you'll get your government money on your little chip card or whatever they have at that time, and that will be that'll control your access to major cities, and they're just going to lock everything down. And I don't see how they keep saying all this is our future, because nobody now, I mean, they got a large portion, I mean, you know, they got the millennials that would go along with some of that. They don't really want cars, and they don't look at freedom and privacy the same way as some of the older generations do. But there's a large portion of the population who are not going to be okay with that setup. And so in my mind, unless they have some kind of horrible war or some other catalyst, how are they even going to get people onto such a system? Because it's hardcore socialist communist nightmare, you know?
Yeah.
No, I mean,
well, my thing is that this goes right into what, you know, we keep saying. They have to change humans. This what they're advocating for, I don't think is possible with us being human. So they got to change that either psychologically or, you know, philosophically or physically. I mean, they got to,
right.
You know, they're going to have to change something. It's going to be a chemical. It's going to be combination of chemical and electromagnetic of a shot, drink,
or kind something. Of fluoride, and absolutely. And this is why we did this research on this movie, is because we wanted to see what they were really doing, because we knew the cover story was bunk. And I guess what we ended up finding out is that, in essence, I mean, in a very short analogy, they were basically looking into the bucket helmets from the SpongeBob movie. I mean, that is the kind of control that we're talking about. You know, large portions of the population. I mean, most people aren't aware that the Chernobyl accident, Chernobyl was powering a gigantic radar, it's basically like a vertical HARP machine, this huge over-the-horizon radar that was sending out a signal that started on July 4th, 1976. It was called the Woodpecker Signal. And you can go, it's like on Wikipedia, you can even listen to this thing, that it was being sent out, it was being beamed from that huge radar at 10 hertz. And it was speculated even on the news media at the time, are they trying to mind control everyone with this technology? What are they doing? I mean, they even said that on national TV at the time.
Because they knew it was scientific fact, it has behavioral effects.
Because they knew that. And they were beaming all of North America with that all the way until the end of the Cold War. Supposedly after the Ukraine thing started up, they started beaming that signal out again. But right now, because everything's digital, people don't even recognize it in a lot of times. But it was interrupting television sets at the time, ham radios. I mean, it was all over, you know, Western Europe, and it was all over America or North America. And that's the kind of stuff that they were doing. The technology got to that level. And that's pretty much, I mean, if you continue and take it on from there to the Gwyn Tower Network, I mean, you could keep going with this movie straight on until today. We're not going to do that because we'd have people sitting there for 17 hours. But, I mean, it's insane the level of stuff they were doing. And like you said, it's going to have to be something that changes people. But the point that I guess that we found is that is exactly what these people who were in these meetings, that's what they were talking about doing at the time. They had a group of cybernetics meetings that went on, and the very last meeting ended right after Dulles signed off on MKUltra, so like it coincided. And all that whole time they were talking about evolving man. The very first meeting they had for it, they had a hypnotist present at the meeting, because it was about cerebral inhibition. And that was how they started this thing, and that was back in 1942. So, if you look at it that way and you start actually looking at things, I mean, we even found a document from 1940, so this is before America officially entered World War II, but it was from the League of Nations people, who were still meeting, by the way. I mean, a lot of people think they weren't around at that time, but they actually were, and they were talking together at the Institute for Advanced Study at Princeton, where they were meeting. And a lot of those people who were on that board were also, you know, on the Ford Foundation, and it was right across the street from the Rockefeller Foundation at the time, and all that stuff. These people were talking at that time, what kind of world do we want to build when this is over? So the plans for the League of Nations to become the United Nations, all that stuff, I mean, that was all worked out well before America even got into World War II. It was being worked out in the 30s. I mean, this is insane, this plot to basically create this one world of everyone on this huge technologically controlled grid. I mean, it's so far reaching. It's like the rabbit hole that never ends.
Well, my thing on the declare your independence is the whole reason that I do the declaration. The whole purpose of any government, you know, defend me, leave me aloneism. I mean, you know, if they're not doing that, then alter or abolish. I mean, that was the point. And I'm going, so if you're going to have a government, fine. Well, it's going to just, like, you know, leave me alone and make sure everybody else leaves me alone, right? No? Well, then what the hell we got it for? You know, and that was the whole point anyway. So that mindset is where I'm trying to just, it's an opinion, because what we're up against is not armies or anything. It's just opinion. It's like, we want everybody to want whatever, and if they can get them to do that through propaganda or brainwave or whatever the hell they can do, there, yes, we demand to be slaves for fill in the blank. And I'm going, that is where is, and that's why you know, like the Lovolution and a lot of other stuff that we've done before and since here and everything has been, it's just been this, I get to have my own opinion. I get to exercise my own ownership of my own life. I get to. If you can do that in some creative way, you know, then like your movie that you're doing, the decentralized goal of the, you know, like pirating everything, of having, I really encourage you to listen to the show I did with, it's Rick Falconwing. It's Falconair. It's, you know, Swedish for Falconwing. But anyway, Rick, the founder of it, he's one of us. I mean, he went at this from the beginning, understanding what he was doing. He was like, we're going to hack the whole thing. And he kind of kept it a decentralized political thing. And I'm not sure how that works. And I don't care. I let somebody else do the pirate party, go vote, and I know how to do it. And you go file and gab, peace out, man. Let me know how that works out. But, you know, it, that's not where it is. It's a cultural thing. And I need you guys and to keep doing what you're doing. And whether it gets shut down or not, I don't freaking care, because we'll duplicate and do and rock and roll and the stuff we always done, make sure they know and done. Now, did you go look at Watch My Bit yet? Have you seen that? Let me put it in Watch My Bit search. Let me see. It comes up. Watch My Bit. .com. Let's see. Hello, creators. Good news. We're temporarily pulling offline. We're revamping our technology and the Bitcoin scaling debate resolved, yada, yada, yada. Okay. This is, I guess they're stopped doing it. But what it is that, let's see if I go to the top left thing here. It is being paid immediately in cryptocurrency. And they're redoing it until Bitcoin does whatever. But keep an eye on this, because this is going to be the kind of thing you go over and the people
need
go
to go
over
to
with,
yeah, yeah,
it'll boom. It's an answer to a lot of things, but of course it needs wide adoption of cryptocurrencies, which they'll go, well, if the IRS says, you know, put your crypto, I made money on the form here, that's like wide adoption. I go, no, wide adoption when you got the grandma just butt, you know, because they always go, well, you just this and you just that. I go, come over here and show me this just button you guys keep talking about, you know, and they start pounding on the keyboard. I go, how does it look like a just button to me? Okay, so then when you start getting new wallets like Airbits and everything, make it easier, and these different things, we are going to highlight all of the decentralized media, the platforms, the methods, hacking solar. I mean, you know, hacking whatever. And you do that, well, then people will know. I don't need them to do anything other than know it can be done.
You
know,
it seems to me you need, somebody should put together a basket so you have some tools to start with. I mean, you could grab a solar kit off the shelf and do something with it. And most people have never heard of these platforms.
Yeah, that's what we're doing, because what we did is that we're going to earn your bones. I mean, you have, like, you know, the little pirate thing that will include the front view of the skull with the wings, and kind of, you, we got our own, you know, that's why Davy Barker is working a lot on this stuff. He does like Bitcoin not bombs and does shiny badges and all this kind of stuff. So we have that, and then what happens in, hey man, did you earn your bones? You know, are you a pirate broadcaster? Are you a pirate with some solar? Are you a pirate? Well, we put all that stuff up there and where to get and how to do and give exact. That's the whole point of this, is just showing where it's being done and what applications and what, you know, technology and where to buy it. And it's right there in stories like we do on Freedom's Phoenix, because when they do it, and then it's up to them. Yeah, I earned my bones. Give me my, you know, freaking crossbone of I'm a hacker of whatever now, you know? So this is going to be to support exactly what you're talking about, but it also brings attention to people like you. So there needs to be, it doesn't matter what you do out there on YouTube, whatever, but whenever there is a platform to where you can duplicate and put your stuff on, it's so that it's already populated for when they finally shut this down, and it matters not, we're over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it doesn't matter either if we're the most popular voice in the room. We just want to have our voice out there, you know?
Yeah, no, I was really glad to see your video, because I've watched your stuff before and, you know, and seen they haven't got to meet with you. Or I vaguely remember when you guys came.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, I remember when you guys came and did that. But, you know, even from there, you could see our mindset was like, everybody, the answer is yes, just don't wait on me, just do it. How can I help you promote what you're doing? But I don't want to promote a platform that is there to shut you down.
I agree with that. Yeah, and it's a struggle, so we're going to have to look into those things and find some new footing.
Yeah, well, you can see from just the art, just the concept, that we're still a couple weeks away from launching, but you kind of get where we're going, right?
Yeah, the good thing about a film or an idea is it's not a quantity, so it could be reproduced anywhere, everywhere. If it dies in one forum, it's going to live somewhere else. So
now I'll pirate the living shit out of your stuff.
Well, that would be much appreciated.
Hey, thanks for spending this extra time with me. Go ahead and give out whatever information to the audience and web pages and anything you want to promote while we got a chance right here at the end. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we do our most personal stuff at truestreammedia.com when it doesn't get hacked and everything. And we've got our obsolete DVD. Right now it's on Amazon Prime, free to watch. And we've got other videos on YouTube at our TrueStream Media channel. And then we do other news stuff, too, on other websites. Melissa's on Daily Sheeple. And so we're out there.
Hey, you can have
access. Yeah, we need some better platforms.
Yeah, you can post on Freems Phoenix all freaking you want, man. Or send me the stuff. I give writer status to, I don't care. You know, so when you guys are ready and rock and roll and this gets going, you let me know. And then, of course, we're gonna have for the pirate stuff, we're working it out how we're going to do Letters of Mark. You know, so it's Captain Mark. He's a character, okay? So Letters of Mark and Reprisal's the girl. So anyway, we're going to have some fun with that. Hey, thanks for spending the extra time with me. It was a pleasure talking to you guys. I feel better. I was really looking forward to talking. I just wanted to encourage you. You know, all the stuff that you're talking about has been what I've been warning what's going to happen. And now there's a promotion of this alternative. But I'm looking forward to your next documentary because they're going, yeah. By the time you get to want to move over there, they're going to flip a switch and nobody's going to want to.
I think it's something that's going to be worth talking about. And just this past year, just everyone has been caught up in the election. And you know as well as I do, that the currency of that is so limited. And it's just, I would never put all my eggs in one basket of any candidate. I don't care how pure. And so we just have to keep going in the other directions, I think.
Yeah, no, and it's not geographic. It's not just America. It's worldwide.
Of course, yeah, of course.
Yeah, you guys, it's a generational thing, and you guys are right. You know, you're like, hell, man, you're almost senior citizens of the generation next. Hey,
yeah,
thanks for spending the extra time, Melissa. You know, thank you very much. You know, for explaining everything to us, and please stay in touch. You need some launch, you know, a banner ad. You can see the banner ads on Freedom's Phoenix. You send me a banner ad with a link in those sizes. Boom. I'll put it up for at least a month free because I love you.
Wow, that's amazing.
Waiting on you now. Waiting on you. All right, peace, guys.
All right. Great to talk to you, Ernie.
You
great
too.
To see you again.
Bye.